1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Before I get into the message this evening, I'm going to ask you to do something as a congregation for you to pray. A few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, Kim's son came forward, and him and his girlfriend were praying, and the Bible says that when the seed is planted, the enemy often comes immediately to take that which has been planted. What I'm asking you to do is, if you so feel led, go to Kim, ask for his number, ask for her number, and give him a call and encourage him to come to the house of the Lord. How many know we're in a war? And I want wisdom to be used. Love them in. I'm not trying to irritate anybody. But he's very friendly, very warm. And I don't want to give up that easily. So how many will join me at least in prayer? And if you so feel inclined and led, there's his girlfriend. And how many believe we ought to be diligent about doing what we can to reach people for God? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Charles Spurgeon and I agree with him. He said, "We don't usually sleep towards the things of the world. We rise up early, sit up late, and eat the bread of carefulness for mammon's sake." The sleeping that he is warning against is not telling the Christian, don't worry about sleeping in the world. We usually don't have a problem sleeping when it comes to the world and for mammon's sake, and that is not a wrong thing to do. But in this age of competition, most men are wide awake for their temporal interest. And yet we sleep when it comes to interest of our souls. And we drive like Jehu for this present world. How many know who Jehu is in the Bible? He's a guy that could drive his chariot 90 miles an hour. And we drive like Jehu for this present world. And although we are in the world, we are not of the world. And but we loiter for the world to come. We work for this present world, and yet so often I see many play with the world to come. And for this reason, Paul writes and says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." It is work to keep your Christian life alive. It is work to keep it fresh, and I have, as I mentioned, grieved over a new baby being born needs a lot of attention. So it was a week ago that I was fortunate to go to Ventura, where I grew up, and in a church where I received my baptism in the Holy Spirit and called to preach. And I have made jokes over the years, and those of you that know it, about a place that I love eating a burrito on the avenue called Johnny's Beef Burrito. How many have ever heard me? Nobody? Thank you, Brother Jim and Debbie. All right. And but anyway, over the 30 years or 40 years I've been away from there, every time I go back, I get one of those burritos, and I make jokes about how they're the best burritos in the world, et cetera, et cetera. And, well, every time when I would be there, I would buy a burrito, and I would rush home with five burritos, and the next day they weren't that as good. And but this time when I was there, I went to the owner, and your pastor's got hang-ups on Johnny's beef burritos, I admit it. But this time I bought 3 pints of their sauce. And I bought the flour corn tortilla, and I brought it home. And they are just as fresh as if I bought them. And I feel like I've died and gone to heaven with these wonderful burritos. And my whole point is now when I eat it, they're fresh. And I did a little figuring today, and I'm starting our 8th year here. And if you have come, you've heard approximately 800 sermons or times that I've spoken. You'll never forget, I'm sure, when I shared some of my funny stories. You laughed, and now when you hear me, you just go, And I understand that, but you've been very gracious to listen to me. And the same truths that I have been preaching, most preachers would agree that they all, the same truths, there's about 20 of them that every preacher preaches. When you really break it all down, there's about 20 truths. And I try to cloak them from different scriptures. I try to address those different things from different illustrations. But I have always, in my heart, and I can honestly say this, I have always tried to bring a message that's fresh. I don't try to bring you leftovers. But I have really worked at, Lord, let the message that I preach for the people be fresh. I remember when I first was called into the ministry, and I remember it wasn't long, but about maybe 5 years after being a youth pastor 4 years, I went to pastor my first church, and I remember taking the Bible and laying it upon my breast, and I remember looking at the book and talking to it and saying, I no longer have a pastor. You're going to need to be my pastor. And so this book is my pastor. I have a library. My library is my pastor. But it is this blessed book through the years that I have endeavored to try. When I do bring forth a message, it has been my desire, Lord, let it be fresh. Let it be fresh for the people. And with that, I want to talk about 3 areas where we are challenged to be fresh in our Christian life. And so the first one I'd like you to look at in the Word of God is found, if you'd open your Bibles, to the book of Job. The word fresh in the Greek means glucose. That's where we get that word glucose. It means sweet. In other words, keep it sweet. And when the Bible admonishes us to be fresh in our Christian life, and I use the scripture, awake thou that sleepest, to keep us on fire for God. In the book of Job, chapter 29 and verse 20, here is what Job said. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Now, what Job is saying is that his glory is his praise. That's what he's referring to when he says, my glory was fresh within me. There's 3 things we are admonished to keep fresh in our walk with God. Now, the word fresh is only used 4 times in the Bible. But Job said, my glory was fresh. And the word glory means my rejoicing, my praise to the Lord. Now, if Job can say that, then suddenly we should be able to say that. Because think about Job. Job's lost his donkeys. And yet his praise is fresh. He's lost his camels. He's lost his health. He's lost his sheep. I mean, he lost 10 children all at once. And then his wife said to Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job, as he's out sitting at the edge of town in the city dump in the ash pile, and his friends came and were not much of an encouragement, and it's believed that Job had elephantitis, where there wasn't a part of his body that didn't have a sore, and his flesh is being corrupted. And yet Job could say, my glory is fresh, or my rejoicing is fresh. Now, I'm 62 years of age, and it seems I can honestly say I catch myself praising the Lord more than I ever have in all of my Christian life. I catch myself, if I'm alone and I don't think anybody's watching, I'll have a shouting spell. Now, that doesn't mean I can't do it in public, but I love to have my time alone with God, where I just come to God and I just want to love you and let him love be poured out on me and to begin to meditate on the sweet words of Jesus. And how many know what it is to just get alone with God and let your rejoicing be fresh and let a new song come to you? I remember years ago as a brand new believer, I think I was out in the country and I got to listening to a radio preacher. And he got me excited, and he was preaching on something, and I felt I wanted to join in on him, so I turned it down, and I preached a while. I mean, all out in the backwoods, in the canyon, in Thousand Oaks, and after I'm just going, I mean, like a, just playing church and just having a good time preaching, I looked up, and I saw a man standing by his truck about 100 yards, just leaning up against his truck looking at me. Of course, I felt a little bit self-conscious and embarrassed, and so I thought, man, he's going to think I'm nuts. So I went to my radio, and I turned it up a little bit louder so he would think the noise was coming from the radio. So he looked at me, and he began to walk towards me, and he says, who doing the preaching? And I said, well, my radio's been, he said, sure was good. I said, oh, that was my preaching. And I remember I just went on and began to praise the Lord, and he was a believer, and I just thought, Lord, I sure enjoyed that time. But, you know, this church here at Calvary Temple is approximately, I'm not exact, about 80 years old, and may it never lose its ability to praise and worship God and have a new song and have a freedom in the spirit to worship God. And Job said that my glory is fresh. And I hope that you, in your personal walk with God, will keep your praise fresh and let God give you a new song and put a hallelujah in your step. And you know, it's good if you'll just meditate on the goodness of God and to be able to get alone and just say, God, you've been so good to me. You've always been there. You've been faithful. You've loved me. You've been merciful to me. And thank God for his goodness. And let him put a shout in your soul. Turn to Psalms chapter 71 and verse 14. I'm talking about keeping it fresh, because the devil would love to put the fire out in your soul. He would love to put the fire out in every church. He'd love to put the fire out of anybody that walks with God. And that's why Isaiah said that he took a coal off of the altar of heaven and placed it upon my lips. God wants you on fire for him. God wants you to love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And in Psalms chapter 71 and verse 14, here's what David said. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. I remember the first sermon I preached in my home church. During the sermon, I was so nervous and scared beforehand, but I remember during the sermon, I believe God's presence came on me. I forgot where I was. I shut my eyes and I just threw my hands up. I started just shouting. I started, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I danced and I shouted. And then when I got done, I thought, good night, what have I just done? I looked up in the congregation and some of them were joining with me and some just staring at me. And I remember I was self-conscious and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get carried away there. It was after church, my mother came, got me over in the side room, grabbed me by the corner of the ear and said, don't you ever apologize again for worshiping God. I said, yes, mother, I will not. You know, I don't like things that are fake. I like things that are real. I like things that are genuine. When I see flowers that are fake, I really don't like them. I know people love to have fake flowers. They just don't do nothing to me. I don't like to see fresh fruit baskets that are fake oranges and fake apples. I want something fresh. I don't like fake butter. I like real butter. I don't like mayonnaise. I mean, I like mayonnaise. I don't like Miracle Whip. Now, I will make an exception for Debbie and Jim, who like Miracle Whip and don't like mayonnaise. But for everybody else, no, you don't even like Miracle Whip. You don't even like mayonnaise. Well, all right, I'll give you half of it then. But I like mayonnaise. I like the real thing is what I'm talking about. And when it comes to the things of God, even God didn't like fake fire upon the altar. He wants it real. And I was preaching at a little church that I didn't realize I'd end up pastoring. But when I was 21 years old, I went to hold a fellowship meeting in White Salmon. A little lady came up to me after the service and said, you know, and this little lady was 85 years of age. She said to me, you know, I've been serving God 70-some years. I'm an old Methodist. She went on to share with me that she said, I was of the old Shouting Methodist. Now, this is 40 years ago. And as she was sharing with me that she was of the old Shouting Methodist, she said, you know, the first thing that left the church was the shout. The first thing that left the church was just the praise and the people being fired up for God. And I've never forgotten that. And I thought, Lord, keep it fresh. Keep my praise fresh. Let it never be just something that is just a formula, but let it come from the heart. Even Jesus said, why draw nigh unto me with your mouths, but your hearts are far from me? He wants a freshness coming from you. And when I often allow myself, and probably it's good to a point and not good to another point, is I'll begin to think about broken lives and broken homes. And I just heard of a terrible accident today, and on and on. And then you watch the news, and it's terrible news in Syria. It's terrible news in Iraq. You hear the news of three girls that were held captive by a man who recently committed suicide. Let the will of the Lord be done. And you see this terrible news over and over and over. And sometimes it can be oppressive. And folks, we need to realize that we are living in the last days when men's hearts are cold. And God help us to lift up our eyes from to the hills from whence cometh our help. And have a fresh touch of God in your life. And know what it is to be able to get along with God and to pray and seek His face and get into the Word of God where it becomes like fire shot up in your bones that Jeremiah said, and let my walk and my praise be fresh. Number two, turn to Numbers chapter 11 and verse 8. Let me read it to you if you haven't gotten there yet. But in Numbers chapter 11 verse 8 it says, and the people went about and gathered, that is manna, and they ground it in meals, or beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. It had a taste, the manna, of fresh oil. Not only are we exhorted to keep the rejoicing and our praise fresh, but we're exhorted to keep the manna fresh. I want this church to have fresh manna. I want you to be able to have fresh manna. And this book of life that we read, all my life I've read the Bible since I've known God. And I want to ask you, read it until it gets fresh. Read it until something comes alive inside of your heart and soul. You say, how long should I read the Bible? Maybe a half a day, maybe 2 hours, maybe an hour. But you ought to at least read it every day until something begins to touch your heart and rise up. You say, well, that's just for preachers. No, it's not for preachers. It's for every child of God, that he might know the Bible and read it every day and wake up and read it. Last thing I do when I go to bed at night is I read the Bible. During the night, I'll wake up and roll over and grab the Bible and read it some more. And I'll wake up in the morning and I'll reach over and grab the Bible again. Or during the day, I'll think of scriptures. And he says to put them on your refrigerator, but learn to love the Bible and it'll love you back. And that's why I love that song, Sing Them Over to Me Again, Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more their beauty to see, wonderful words of life, wonderful words, beautiful, teach me faith and duty, wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. This is the only book in the world that you can read and get something new. I mean, you can get, it is just as fresh as it was before. I just believe in this blessed book, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It does truly get sweeter as the days go by. I heard a story, of a true story, of a little lady. She read a book, and she said after reading that book, I hate that book. That is the worst book I've ever read, and she put it down. One day, she got a knock on her door, and it was a fella that was selling books. He had one of those books that she hated. She kept her mouth quiet, but she sort of liked the salesman. So after the salesman left, she opened the book and she read it again. Then she said, you know, that book isn't as bad as I thought. It's a pretty good book. Then the fella came back one day and he asked her out for a date. So she read the book again. And then she said, it's a marvelous book. And then he asked her to marry him, and she did. And on her honeymoon, she read the book for the fourth time. And she said, that is the best book I have ever written in my whole life. And that's the way the Bible is. The more you know the author, the more you're going to love his book. This book is so precious to me. My pastor would judge a sermon based entirely, was it Bible? Someone would come to the church and preach, and they'd say, well, what do you think? And he would either say, it was Bible. And if it was Bible, then it was good enough. And the third time we're exhorted to where we should keep it fresh is in Psalms chapter 92, verse 10. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So we're encouraged to have fresh rejoicing, fresh manna, and fresh oil. And we know that the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But every day I must have a fresh, new anointing on my life. And let me say, what has built this church has not been personalities. What has built this church has not been talent. What has built this church has been the blessed Spirit of God that has built this church. And may we always have a really sacred attitude towards the moving of the Spirit and of the Holy Ghost, that it might move in our church week after week. And may you in your own life, which are the church, say, Lord, anoint me with fresh oil. Let me have fresh oil. I need thy anointing, and I need thy fresh touch and thy anointing upon my life. I still do it. I walk up and down the pews. I sing, Lord, send the old-time power. Send the old-time Pentecostal power, where people get saved and people get filled with the Holy Ghost. And may I ask you to join with me, Lord. Lord, let the Holy Ghost move and let the old time power flow, and may we walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and live in the Spirit. When Brother Harms, the man that helped tutor me, was nearing death, I remember talking to him on the phone, and one of the last conversations I remember I had with him is he said, Brother Connor, I said, yes, Brother Harms. He said, keep it fresh. So I want you to go home tonight, and if you have to find a place to hide out, I want you to think how good God has been to you. If you have to jump up and down to show your appreciation to God, then so do it. I want to encourage you to open the blessed book and find some scriptures. Maybe you might want to come to the place that says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, but sits, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Or maybe you need to turn somewhere else and read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Maybe you need to turn to John 15, where Jesus is speaking. And maybe you ought to read where Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so." But I want to encourage you to take your Bible and to let a new anointing come upon you, and to take your lips and begin to praise the Lord and worship Him. If Job could do it in the midst of all of his loss, then surely our praise can be fresh before the Lord. And I want to encourage you, keep it fresh. Get with God and let Him touch you again and again and again. Let's stand. In fact, I'd like us to sing a chorus, Deb, if you'd come. "Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me." You know, there's two philosophies in the church. One is to try to have the church where there's great entertainment and there's great talent. And thank God for talent and thank God for those things. But it almost gets to where people are entertained. And then there's the old philosophy that says, "Church, go pray through. Get a hold of God and get a hold of His Word and let a fresh anointing come upon your life." I'm of the old school. Father, we just do now stop. Would you just join with me and lift your hands and let's look to the Lord and pray for a fresh anointing. Oh God, come upon our church. Come upon, Lord, our people. Lord, I pray for a hot coal off of the altar to come and touch my lips. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh God, we need Thy Holy Ghost. Lord, we need You to help us. We pray, Lord, that You do these things in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let the anointing break the yoke. Lord, it's always been by Thy Spirit. Let's sing it together, shall we?
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Just find a place to pray and be real before God. Ask Him to give you a fresh praise. Ask Him to give you a fresh manna, a new love for His Word, and ask Him to give you a fresh anointing. The altars are open. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody feel God's talking to them? Let's sing it, Spirit of the Living God. Would we stand, please? If anything, we need to be people of prayer. I do believe God gave that to Debbie. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And Lord, you have raised this church up. You've been faithful to it these many years. We be, Lord, your children, your sons, your daughters. We do pray, Lord, that you continually would use us. May, Lord, we continually be on fire for you and keep it fresh in our life. Help us to encourage one another and exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We ask you to be with your people in Jesus' name. Amen.